If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Dude, that's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to a major championship recap journal edition of The Smiley Show. Once again, coming to you from the good people at the PGA of America, the partnerships tent here next to the 18th green at Quail Hollow. Does not get any better than this, Smiley. They're not a trace of wind right now, which has been great for scoring, not so great for keeping the North Carolina humidity off of our skin. But here's where we're going to start, where we started the entire week, is time to get our minds right. Help with the good people at Magic Mind.
All right,
so let's dial these little mental performance shots in. What was your final review of the gummies we had yesterday?
Terrific. Tasted good. Felt like I was firing on all cylinders, if you will. Yeah, it was great. Just excited to get going here. Cheers.
Cheers, of course, to everyone out there joining us. A little Magic Mind cheers.
That's tasty, too. That was tasty.
Jackson, our producer back there, who's tasty. By the way, shout out Jackson, who's been grinding all week long. But we finished our Tuesday preview show. We dropped on Wednesday, which we opened with some Magic Mind mental performance shots. It's like, you guys really sound clear. You guys are really clear of mind, making good points. Yeah.
Surprising for us.
It's just a complete shocker, which is why he said that. I said, what's the variable here? It's a Magic Mind.
Yes. So,
big shout out to them.
It was definitely steamy out there today, even though the sun really never kind of popped out. It was a bit of an overcast, hot day. And it felt like, you know, the story of day one was the mud balls. Story of day two was the scoring kind of opened up. Place, I think because the sun never really came out today, the golf course never really got fast, dried out, and firm. You know, there was some big bounces on Thursday with, I thought, a little bit more wind, and then, of course, the mud balls you throw in. So, a day for scoring.
So, we're also brought to you today by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. We're going to tell you at the end of the show, maybe once we wrap talking about some of the favorites, how to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use a code we're going to give you to earn a bunch of free money on bonus bets on that app. But here's where we're going to start with that, Smiley, is the group we just watched finished. Scottie Scheffler finished at 5-under for the tournament, shot 3-under today, and Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele both making the cut on the number. Both are sitting at 1-over heading into the weekend. I want you to try to guess the odds for each three of those players to win outright. So let's start with Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie he opened as a plus 450. Actually, it was plus 400, plus 450. He went down to plus 325 overnight. And then I'm going to say that his odds have creeped up even more to plus 250.
Plus 210.
Plus 210.
To win this tournament, which is, I mean, he's not far off it. He's three shots off it right now, but he's the best player in the world. And, you know,
with his okay stuff right now.
And that, we're going to talk about that. But first, I want you to guess next, where do you think Rory McIlroy is odds to win outright?
Is Rory at, he made the cut at plus one?
At plus one.
Is he right at plus one?
18th, yeah.
Man, he's probably, gosh, there's an opportunity with the weather that's expected tomorrow afternoon. He could go out and really post a number. But still, you have to think he's going to be at least four or five back, if even on a really good day heading into Sunday. It's got to be plus 4,500.
On the number, Rory McIlroy on DraftKings Sportsbook, 45-1 to win the tournament.
That's got to be worth something, right?
That's, we should give you some bonus bets because that's unbelievably good odds making there. Now, I want you to guess what Xander Schauffele's odds to win outright are. Same one over number as Rory McIlroy.
More 5,200.
He's at 150-1 plus 15,000.
Wow. Well,
that's a stunner to me. What do you make of that?
I mean, Rory's been in forms. Xander has not necessarily played to the level at which you think he can go win this thing over the weekend. He's just been a little off.
It's still stunning to see that number on DraftKings Sportsbook. Here is let's talk about those guys in order again. And the first one is Scottie Scheffler. You mentioned on the broadcast today that the chatter was he's out of sync today, and his out of sync was a 3-under 68 to get to 500 and three shots off the lead. What do you see from him today? I know he missed some short putts that could have taken him even deeper.
Yeah, but that's really it.
I just continue to be just mesmerized by the fact that he just can scrape together not even just a middling score, like an even a par number. It's just a 3-under with the C game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's finding fairways. His iron game is really good at times. And the putter, he's made some good putts, but he also hasn't cleaned up some of the ones that he should have. And it's been a first two couple days of just keeping the bogeys off of the card for most of the leaders. Not a whole lot of double bogeys being made out of here at Quail Hollow. He's kept those off the card, and you know he runs into four birdies a day just on it with just being a little off.
Ball striking, yeah. It's amazing to just see him put together rounds like that. You're not really even paying attention. Nothing's popping off the screen, and then there he is.
Yeah,
top five, top ten heading into the weekend. The major
I feel pretty good with my one and done pick.
I think you're sitting pretty good. My one and done pick, on the other hand, Rory McIlroy
made the cut
with a very shaky bogey on 18.
Yeah. That
could have gone the other way. Some interesting stuff from the broadcast. Rory only hit six fairways today, and there was a report from the SiriusXM PGA Tour radio that Rory's driver was ruled non-conforming earlier in the week. And I know you mentioned his accuracy's kind of been off prior to that, but just how that plays into his struggles off the tee this week. And then today, particularly, even as he shot, I believe he started the day 3 over, so he shot 69 today to get to 1 over. But 128th in the field in strokes gained approach last time I checked in round two. So an inaccurate driver, and then really kind of struggling with his approach shots to just make the cut on the number. Like, we just didn't really see this coming from Rory this week.
Well, he was actually playing really nicely today. Came out really playing aggressively. Yeah. Had a nice up and down at the first hole, and then a really the drive he hit at number two was just silly. Right, bombed right over the corner, makes birdie. And felt like, you know, he got it to under par for the tournament. You know, he's 4-under par through 10 holes and then just makes a sloppy bogey at 11, followed by another sloppy bogey at 12. Actually, the bogey at 12 was just one you expect once you hit it short-sided like you did. And really just had more bogeys that were just sloppy, like on 17, just one where he gets it into. He just saw Scottie Scheffler at the same putt, and then he misses it right after him. Does he have a chance to win this golf tournament? Absolutely, just because of the weather forecast, but still, it's a long way to climb.
So I think this now is the perfect time to, should we just issue an apology to Johnny Vegas now for just,
yes, he can.
For just not talking about him at all yesterday, despite him leading the tournament at 7-under and now leading again at 8-under today.
We recorded thinking that 5-under was going to be the lead at the end of the day, and we didn't see a Johnny Vegas surge at the end of the day. Apologies.
If we could explain a little bit, we're trying to get this episode out early so you can consume it and get ready for the next day at the PGA, but I think, and this is, yet another testament to the good people of the PGA of America, is that Johnny Vegas was making the turn as we were recording, and he went just ham on his second nine yesterday. So that's a little bit of, we didn't really see it coming, but he surged up that leaderboard late. So here is, and we have so many great stats from our friends at the Elias Sports Bureau, yeah. Randy Roba, saw him on the way out. They are good to us. Johnny Vegas, 70th ranked golfer in the world, could become just the fourth player ranked 50 or higher on the OWGR to hold the outright lead at the end of each of the first two rounds, mm-hmm, of a major championship. There are only three who have done that. Justin Rose, 2024 Masters, was 67th in the world, finished T22. Chris DeMarco, 2001 Masters, 58th in the world at the time, finished tied for 10th. And Gil Morgan at the 1992 U.S. Open, 82nd in the world at the time, finished tied for 13th. You know, from what you've seen from Johnny Vegas, is this sustainable? Can you take this into the weekend?
Okay, so with really a lot of these players that we're about to start talking about,
yeah.
Normally heading into major championships, you look for players that are in form because the golf course requires that much higher of a skill level with all of the challenges that major championships test you on. And a lot of these players that we're about to start talking about, none of these guys would you would have said coming into the week, oh, yep, that's the guy I like this week. And for whatever reason, we've had a lot of players find form in the first two rounds, Johnny Vegas being the first guy. Made a ton of putts in his first round. If you want to talk about his career and what he's been good at, what he's been poor at, the putter's always been an issue for Johnny. But he had a really hot putter in round one, and he's driven it very well the first couple days. The iron game's been average the last 2 days. That's something that's got to kick up. From a proximity standpoint, he's averaging outside of 40 feet on round one and round two. So when you just think about that, the putter was, he made half the amount of feet of putts in round two. So you're thinking, all right, how is it going to hold up? Well, what can we lean on? Ball striking. We can't lean on necessarily experience. He has won on the PGA Tour four times, but only, we're talking, he's played, I think, 16 majors, zero top 20s in any major championship. So, It would be a surprise. Let's just put it that way. It would be a surprise. He's only had one top 10 this year. He was coming off four missed cuts in a row before a T13 at the Byron. So it's a surprise to see him at the top, but he's obviously talented.
The odds makers on DraftKings Sportsbook have him fourth shortest odds to win. So 12-1. I mean, they still like Scotty Moore. They like Bryson Moore. They like Matt Fitzpatrick Moore. But he's right there neck and neck with Siwoo Kim. Obviously, the lead helps with that. But they're not riding him off.
That's right.
Heading into the weekend. A story today that my favorite story of the day. We were taking some of this in early as he was in the late early wave. Max Homa. I got some more stats from Elias and Randy for you. So he teed off on the 10th hole today, shot 30 on that first nine. That's the lowest nine-hole score of his majors career. This is his career-best major championship round, shot 64 today by three shots, shot a 67 in the first round of the 2024 majors. And this, I think, is very interesting, is he has been on the top 10 of a major leaderboard seven rounds in total in his career. The last time he did it was all four rounds of the 2024 Masters, rounds one and four of the 2023 Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, and round three of the 2022 PGA at Southern Hills. So we talked a lot about, you know, Max's his sort of dip in form, even heading into last year, how he really wanted to up his game in majors. And outside of that first major of the year, the Masters, you know, it was a struggle for him last year. And entering this year, I don't think anyone would have predicted the performance today outside of maybe his form here at Quail Hollow. So, I mean, today leads the field in strokes gained off the tee by a long shot, seventh in putting. What do you think you can see this formula heading into the weekend, and he could be in contention?
Oh, yes. I mean, he's a dog. Like, he's 100% a dog. And I have so much respect for a player like Max Homa, who said after the round today, you know, at times I just feel like it's broken. You know, I need this epiphany of what needs to happen for me to play good golf again. And there's something to be said about a player that nobody believes in, and he just continues to believe in himself and put the work in. And you got to have respect for that type of player. He's going to show up on the tee, and he's been through some, you know, and he's stood on a lot of big moments and big tee shots, and has come away successful. So he's got the experience of winning. And I guess the question I would pose back to you in this is it enough playing really well in the majors and poorly on the PGA Tour for a player like Max to make it on? You know, Keegan Bradley's back here behind us. Is that enough to make his team playing well at the majors? But, I mean, he had six missed cuts in a row at one point on the PGA Tour this year.
We talked about this morning and just trying to figure out if he top five in the remaining three majors, would that be enough in terms of points gained? If he top 10 in the next three majors, would that be enough? And I'm talking merely on points for qualification, because I don't know that if you play, to your point, the way he's playing on the PGA Tour the rest of the year, yeah. and all he had was three top fives in majors, if that would be convincing enough for me to pick on him.
Let me ask you this. What player has ever finished top 12 in all of the majors and not been on the Ryder Cup team? I think if he plays well in all of the majors, it would just, from a precedent standpoint, yeah. I don't care what type of form he's had this year. If he showed up at all the big events,
right.
That's the only really good comparison to what it's like pressure wise playing in a Ryder Cup. I know that we're going to get into Ryder Cup talk down the road.
Sure. This, but I mean, I'll say, to wrap this and move on to some other guys, it's going to be fascinating to see both what happens the next two rounds for Max out here, but also the rest of the season coming off this.
Yeah.
Because if it is this sort of, you know, yo-yo of bad form in tournaments that don't matter as much, but still bad form and good form and at the highest levels, you know, and he's not qualified. I think Keegan, you're saying, I mean, this guy's been one of the most clutch performers for the last couple of Ryder Cup and President's Cup teams.
Especially in Rome. You know, he had that big putt on the 18th hole. He's got no top tens on the season, which is the one stat I'm going to give you real quick before we get on to this next person. We have Vegas, Matthew Pavone, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Max Homa, and Siwoo Kim. And combined with that group, how many top 10s combined do you think they have as you just looked at my cheat sheet?
I just looked at your cheat sheet and now I can't unlook at it.
Two top 10s combined with this group. Insane. We're not talking wins or top five. We're talking top 10s. Crazy. And those top 10s, one was from Johnny Vegas at the Century, and then Siwoo Kim had one. And Siwoo Kim's been in much better form than any of these guys that I just read out, but Siwoo has been finishing between 12th and 25th a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, again, it leaves you with that feeling that it is still wide open heading into the week. And I mean, yesterday we said something of the same ilk, which is, you know, there are a lot of guys who are ahead, but none of those guys have really won convincingly, especially, you know, at a major championship. So, you know, it should be wide open for some guys to make some moves from deep in the pack.
Well, 100% with the forecast too.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the forecast.
That's why Rory has a chance. So what we're expecting in the forecast is that tomorrow morning it's supposed to be light with the winds. And then as the afternoon progresses, it's going to be 12 to 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 25 to 30. And when you talk about wind on greens that are going to be drying out in the afternoon, even par is going to be a good score. Now, these guys in the morning with no wind potentially could go out and shoot a 6-7 under par. And all of a sudden, these guys that shoot even par and a couple over, here they are, you know, a couple shots back going into the Sunday.
Well, and then can you also, and this will segue into our next little topic of discussion, but explain why this afternoon's lack of wind was so devastating to the guys who were two over.
I think a lot of it goes, you know, where guys are finishing too. You know, players that are finishing on the front nine, they have, you know, there's some scoreable opportunities on the seventh hole, the eighth hole, and 16, 17, 18 just played a little bit more benign. I mean, there's literally not a breath of wind right now. And it felt like the two overs, when you finish up your round, that, yeah, sure, it's going to wind will blow in the afternoon, dry out, and two over easily makes a cut.
Well, remember in the morning, one over was like 1% chance to be the cut line. Yeah. And it moved, you know, all day long.
It just kept changing,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move to some of those names that missed the cut. I mean, I should get in the notes here. First of all, another Randy stat. Siwoo Kim, his hole-in-one today of 252 yards, the longest hole-in-one in major championship history. So good day for him. Matthew Pavone recorded the lowest major championship round of his career today, 65. Other two rounds in the 60s were 2024 at Pinehurst, where he was in the mix there. So maybe an opportunity for him going the weekend. And then a strong day for Matt Fitzpatrick. He hasn't been in great form recently, but gained just about the same amount of strokes tee to green as he did putting. So hot day with the putter and a solid day everywhere else. And all those guys are at 6 under as of my last check, and 2 shots off Johnny Vegas's 8 under lead.
Yeah, Matthew Fitzpatrick, him and Billy Foster split up. That was kind of a conversation earlier this year. It's been a really hard year for Fitzy, you know, 11 starts, no top 20s. This is a player that you expect to be on the Ryder Cup team, and a player that should, you know, at one point, I think a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, he's top 10 in the world. He's definitely been working his way back, been working his tail off, getting 0 results. And when you go look at his stats, it's just kind of a little bit of everything. One week it's good, one week it's bad. when you think about what he's been great at, it's always been his putter. And he's had some really poor weeks with the putter this year. And this week he's having a nice week with the flat stick.
So those are the players, some of whom both are near the top of the leaderboard, who made the cut. If you want to, you know, you like any nuggets that Smiley gave you and you want to go sprinkle a little bit on those guys heading into the weekend, you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code SMILEYSHOW. That's code SMYLIESHOW to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? I got it that time. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. I never know if I'm putting the right emphasis on the sentence that says, on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas.
Hey, can we talk about Pavone real quick? Are you going to talk about him?
Well, I mean, I was going to go to the missed cuts, but would you like to expand on Pavone a little bit before we go there?
What a crazy discrepancy we found. And his world ranking, because I'm looking,
that's a crazy stat.
I'm looking down at his results and I'm wondering, how is he here? He's 64th in the world, which is shocking considering Data Golf has him as the 254th ranked player in the world. I've never seen a discrepancy that large. And if you go look at his results, his last top 10 was at the US Open at Pinehurst this past year. It's just crazy. I don't know how he's 64th.
Well, it's strange. I really would like to go back and dig deep on why that, you know, what the calculations are that's different on Data Golf relative to what he's done to get his world ranking points. But it does seem like he's starting to get this reputation as a guy that steps up in big moments. You know, I mean, the fact that he was in the mix of the US Open, he won the Farmers Insurance Open at a US Open venue in Torrey Pines and had to clutch up near the end to win that tournament. And now is in the mix here. It's one of those guys where if you look at a leaderboard and some guys you kind of rule out, there's just no way he's going to stick around. Even though he doesn't maybe have the resume as some of the other guys up there, I see Pavone's name up there and I can very easily see him
like hanging in there.
Like he did at Pinehurst.
Hanging in there. And yeah, how you're going to have to hang in on a tough afternoon like tomorrow, you're going to have to most likely get up and down. That's his weakest statistic by far. I mean, it is in the middle of the pie when we talk about as far as weaknesses go. But he's been really good this week, so we'll see if he gets up and down tomorrow.
All right, Smiley, I'm going to read you some names of guys who missed the cut, some notable names. First, there's a group at two over that sort of hard done by the weather conditions today. We'll start with Shane Lowry, who was, as many saw on social media, not able to take relief from someone else's pitch mark.
Agree to disagree on that rule. That's one that I think should be changed. You should always be entitled to relief when your ball is embedded virtually, even though it's somebody else's pitch mark.
Agreed. Also in that group of two, Sepp Straka, Jordan Spieth, and Jake Knapp. Some three overs, Hideki Matsuyama, Ludvig Åberg, second straight miscut of the PGA, Justin Thomas, and then some who are further down the board, Patrick Cantlay, Jason Day, Will Zalatoris, Cam Smith, Brooks Koepka, Russell Henley, and Dustin Johnson. Anyone there who just kind of stands out in terms of surprising you?
Yeah, JT. I mean, that's a surprise. He had so much form coming into the week. Ludvig Åberg, he's been so good in majors, and Quail Hollow just seemed like a perfect fit for him. So those are the two biggest names that are surprised. I think a lot of people thought Cantlay was going to have a really good week, but he never really had any type of good golf this week, it seemed like. And then I think just the live contingent of guys that missed the cut, Brooks and Cam. Cam really hasn't been a factor in a major, it seems like, in a while. And Brooks, not very good golf from him. And then DJ's just, you know, I miss the old DJ. I wish he was still playing well, but he's a little off in these deals.
Yeah, I think we all do. I mean, I think, once again, it's Bryson sort of leading the charge this week, although Jon Rahm has played pretty solid.
Yeah.
And that's
Hatton was way up there and then made triple year at 18. It was ninth hole of the day. So he was close to posting a pretty decent number too.
But that's been sort of the live contingent pretty consistently for me just for a while now. Here's where we're going to end, because it's PGA Championship, and who doesn't love a good Michael Block story, Michael Block quote? So I've got two anecdotes for you. The first is, and this is, again, big props to our friends at golf.com, Golf Magazine, just all over covering the Michael Block beat, because Josh Schrock talked to Michael after he finished at 15 over through two rounds to miss the cut. And Michael said, "I love crowds. That's kind of the funny part, is I wish there was a huge crowd on every hole, because that's when I hit my shots. I really do. I always do. It's the weirdest thing. When there's no one around is when I hit my worst shots. That's something that I need more in my life, is a bigger crowd. I just need to play a little better so it could happen. I can only imagine what would have happened if I would have been playing really good this week." And then, of course, Sean Zach of golf.com, this is from him on X. He said, "Got to watch Michael Block hit driver off the deck and bow to the crowd while in last place. I think I'll head home now. Can't get any better than that." Your thoughts on the Block party, Smiley?
I got nothing to add. That was great. Maybe that's what I've been missing, is just not playing in front of enough people at home.
I need to get video of it wherever that is, but the last place driver off the deck, bow to the crowd, and that sounds as electric, like, as Sean described
it. Sounds like something I would do. Just like, at this point, it's a bit. Might as well just drive
it's
off the
just
deck.
Great. Well, fun day two here. Yep. Here at Quail Hollow. Do you have anything you want to leave? Yes. Are you reaching for some stats over here?
I was going to ask you a question on the way out, which is, what is leading at the end of the day tomorrow? Knowing that you know what the forecast is, what the leaderboard looks like, lead is currently at 8.
Mm-hmm.
What is the lead heading into Sunday?
What is the lead heading into Sunday with those conditions as they are? I think it might be 8 again, like 7 or 8.
That's right, Ryan. I think it'll be 7 or 8.
I think it's one of those things where Scotty's obviously going to be later, but you know Scotty's going to, like, he's going to shoot a 69 come hell or high water, and he's going to get a 7 under, and so it just matters as whether or not Johnny Vegas, someone else can move a few strokes up or stay where they are, or whether Scotty's just sitting there leading or co-leading a 7 under.
Mm. You know what looked really good for a long time is that your over-under that you put on Rory McIlroy, 69.5 today, that looked great for quite some time.
You know, that last drive over here that almost went down the water.
We just kind of went.
Yeah, it was and then the wedge shot too. I was hoping maybe he would do something magical, make par the last to shoot 68, but was not there. Was not to be there. I mean, I'm on a cold streak. I'm not hiding it. I'm just owning it.
I'm trying to think. Did he shoot 69?
Shot 69, but 69.5 was the over under. So that's under.
We cashed.
We just blew Jackson's mind. We cashed. Let's go.
Hey, I was thinking that the par was 72, but then I was like, wait, hold on. He cashed. There you go, buddy.
Thanks for watching and listening. We're going to go celebrate. We'll see you Saturday night.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...